Power of Giving, and here to introduce her panel and topic in more detail, please welcome Laura Brown.
Good morning, everyone, and our listening audience on the Internet. Our panel members are Melanie Tyler and Judy Cavane and Clayton Martin and Cross Rowland. And Chantel Dalton may be arriving a little later. So please welcome our members. Far away there. So as Stephanie mentioned, the panel today is on the power of giving, which was reprinted in the Kavalarine Convention 1992. So the first question, please explain why the power of giving is our true purpose in life and how it is our natural role to express this power. Croft, please.
On this first question, I thought it might be wise just to give a few points for our listening audience, some of the new LAT, Life Analysis Training members, who are just learning about the principles of the Kavalarine philosophy. So just want to give a few thoughts here as a sort of a build-up to the power of giving. So we say at birth, we take that first breath, which determines the quality of intelligence that should unfold or express in life. That quality has a number, and we know those numbers from 1 to 9. We're given a name, which gives us a channel of mind and thinking. Physical body, mind, emotions are now developing. If the power of giving is our true purpose, how do we arrive at that level of mind that allows us to give and live that true purpose? Life is governed by natural laws and mental laws, of course. We have to study mind and become aware that there are different levels of thinking. We term it often subconscious, conscious, and superconscious. We also learn that there is a higher and lower aspect to mind. We call them the opposites. The higher side is more conscious and is our happy and giving nature. The lower side is termed self, selfish taking, ego, negative thoughts, all the lower selfish desires. Now we ask the question, what is this self side of mind? What is self? As we study the development of mind, we know that self holds mind back from advancement and growth. So the purpose of the philosophy is to explain the steps that mind must take in order to grow in consciousness. Living in self is living on the outer path of life. It creates its own standard of measurements. It has not learned the universal principles of mathematics to measure experiences. So life is bringing hurts and disappointments to this type of mind, living in hopes and disillusions, negative feelings and suspicions, hatefulness, gossip, destroying others' characters. This is all part of self, an expression of mind on the outer path. This is the opposite to consciousness, giving, logical thinking, and self-discipline. So this is what we're actually discussing this morning, the power of giving, but I just wanted to give a few thoughts of how we arrive at this subject itself.
Thank you, Croft. Would anybody else like to add to Croft?
Well, he covered it pretty well, but I have a few points. I just wanted to make note that our whole purpose in life is giving, because we're given life when the spark is allowed to express, and we must to live, to give expression through our mind to this spark. And by doing that, then we give expression to the universal intelligence. And by showing love and understanding and being of service to all of mankind. So it's pretty basic, but it's very, very important.
Clayton.
Just a small small point, I think, but a big one at the same time, that really life is the gift, and it's been given to us, so in order to appreciate your life, you have to really give back, because that's your whole purpose. Like, life is free. You came into being, and you got the potential to create and do whatever you want in life and seek the principles of life. So as we seek and find, and in turn, it's our duty to give back to life what it has given to us.
Thank you. The second question, the article states, "We are all here to serve the purpose for which we are born. The time we are born denotes a specific role, but we are all here to give expression to this spark of consciousness. But why is it that so often the spark is not really kindled within the mind, our mental awareness?" Judy.
Well, in the philosophy, we often talk about being of service to the principles, and that means serving the purpose for which we were born. But because we live in a world that is lacking in universality, lacking in understanding of the principle, most people just don't have an awareness of the law, that there is a law that governs their lives. And often we see that the quality of life depends on where we happen to be born. And some places in the world, life itself is just about survival. And every day is just a challenge because of the lacking basic the basic needs of food and water and so on. And we know that in a situation like that, the spark within just don't have a chance at all. And other places, people are better off, they're better educated and so on, but they're still caught up in that self plane of mind because that's all they have. And so they live. Most people live just in feelings and in the satisfaction of self and so on. And often we see the world around us, the leadership in the world in particular, they are just motivated by greed and power, and that's the motivating urge. So it's not to say that we don't have many kind, many wonderful people in the world. We have many caring individuals and organizations, and they sincerely want to help, and they want to improve the quality of life around them. But without this understanding of the principle, without the understanding of the five basic truths, and that's mathematics, language, name, mind, and consciousness, but without that understanding, the spark within is not kindled, and it remains dormant like a seed, and it doesn't find its true expression in life.
Thank you. Chantel?
I might add, good morning, everyone. I might add that all life is a reflection of a great reality. Every aspect of it has a role to play. And as we, as individuals, look around us, we seek, no matter what, we seek something to understand, something that's there. And some people strive all their lives and never find it because we are not taught it when we are young. Even the basics of good manners and standards are lacking, and the poor soul struggles like a potato in a root cellar looking for the light. And so there's so many, many millions of people like that. And they've become accustomed to what's around them, the dull existence, and they look for something, anything. And there's where we have a lot of forms of life and entertainment that are not progressive. Thank you.
Thank you, Chantel. Craven?
Well, basically, we can only give up that inner potential as much as the inner potential or our birth path, as much as our name allows us to express. So as people being born into the world, we are basically unconscious of the existence of the mathematical principle, and we have to seek to find the meaning behind life. So the spark isn't kindled with the mind because we are not allowed to express it to its fullest, because few have found that by balancing the name, they are allowed then to express their inner potential and find out their true purpose in life. So as the mind seeks and develops and seeks more on a spiritual side than on a material side, basically people are born, they go to school, go to work, get married, have children, the cycle continues. Often, not always, the mind doesn't take a break to seek that there could be something bigger outside of itself, to find out really what is its potential in life. So by balancing the mind, it allows then the inner potential to naturally express. And people then have to learn to tune their mind to a philosophical plane of mind.
Thinking on an individual basis, most people tend to get caught up in our life and in our outer or self concept. And then this happens, we get sort of lulled. You can see it happening where people just get lulled into a sense of self-satisfaction. And in this, it's just an existence then. And when this happens, a spark or our true inner purpose is not kindled within the mind. And we spend a lot of time in life, wasting time and not adding much to life. And often you'll speak to people and they just feel very, very unfulfilled. And that's because it really hasn't gone to where it's supposed to go. And so we can't express what we really should be expressing.
And yet that natural urge within
it's there,
really,
but we don't give it.
Crafted.
So therefore, through the vocabulary and philosophy, we see that the spark of consciousness to be kindled through study is to be kindled through study and of the mental and physical laws of life and use and actually application of those particular laws. Many people in life do not actually relate their life experiences to their thoughts. Through this limited understanding of life through mind, we place ourselves in the living much in the subconscious level of thought. This is why people live for material possessions, fashions, showiness, and power and control. When we talk about the unfoldment of the spark of consciousness, we're talking about the higher consciousness in the vocabulary and philosophy, sometimes termed the inner consciousness. So as mind applies the mind to the principles of thinking and living, we build a power of mind, which this power of mind actually kindles or starts to bring forth the higher consciousness.
Why is it so important that youngsters are taught at an early age how to give? Chantal?
That's a good question. It's very important. There are two children across where I live. And every day the parents strive to present to them better ways of doing things, not to do this, not to do that, to do this. Children need to know what to do. They long to know what to do. They're seeking. They're like a little sponge. They pick up everything that's around them and look at it and touch it. That is where it is our opportunity to give them the food they need to grow, to appreciate, to value, and to love. And when they need love, and they're born through love, and they need to understand this so they can give it back. They need to know that everything in life is born to do a job, to do something, and do it wonderful and well.
Judy.
Well, in the article, Mr. Shearing writes, and I'm just going to quote, "The mind as it develops in youth is the foundation of the concept that express throughout the active years." So yes, we know it's very important that youngsters learn early in life how to be giving. They have to be taught that life is not just about themselves. So they have to learn and share, learn to share and give, and just not live by what they feel like doing. So we know that children will learn to give as they see the example that is created by the parents and also other people that are influential in their life. They learn, of course, through education and through discipline. And it is not just about giving in a physical way. It's very much about how to live the higher side of their nature, to be happy and to be constructive and learn to be creative. And if children are not taught how to be giving, it will be a great disadvantage later in life. And it's really a poor start because it's very hard for adults if they haven't learned as children. And we also understand that it is a great responsibility and it's a great challenge to raise children. And we admire parents that are doing a good job. And we can see some beautiful examples right here in our organization of children that has been taught early of how to give on themselves and how to be creative in their lives. And Caballerian parents and also all students, we are really privileged to have this understanding. And so that way we can pass it on to the younger generation.
Thank you, Jenny. Great.
Okay. So in the Caballerian philosophy on the subject of child training, we actually teach, of course, that the child, right from birth through to 9 years of age and beyond that, but in that particularly formative years, is very, very impressionable, period of high impressionability. So when you allow youngsters to use role models who are dealing in drugs and liquor and all the lower forms of sexual expression and so on, you're actually impressing their minds at a very tender age, and it's very difficult then as you lead the mind into those levels of lower levels of mind, it's very difficult to reach them, to show them how to give it as they advance in life. So Caballerian youngsters that are brought up with parents that understand the Caballerian philosophy are taught about a balanced name. They're taught about proper diet, eating, taught breathing exercises, thinking in a more universal way about the God principle. They are easily taught how to share their possessions and so on at this as they go through life. So through this foundation, they have an advantage in that they will grow in their development each year. They'll have a clarity of mind, they'll have a quickness of mind, and they will reach their objectives, they will develop their talents, they will accomplish so much more in life if they are given this this grounding and this development early.
Okay.
We talk about the foundation because all things that we learn basically come from our home environment, from the people we live with, the people we see. And in some homes, they don't give much love, they don't share much, and the giving is pretty hard to see. And so this doesn't become a part, the child doesn't really absorb this into their natures. And so this is very, very difficult later in life because it's not taught. It's almost the same as discipline. People wonder why you discipline your children. Well, if the child isn't disciplined, I mean, you can discipline to share and all that, but they have to learn it within themselves because if they don't have it, then later in life when they need to discipline themselves, and we all do sooner or later, the self-discipline is very, very difficult because it wasn't taught at the when the foundation was actually being created. And if this is all brought about when they're young, it just flows out of their nature. And you see these children, they're just so giving and so outgoing, it's a beautiful expression of their natural spark, and they really relate with people so much better.
Yes. Mr. Parker always taught his youngsters, keep happy thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Happy thoughts are healthy thoughts. So this next question has already been touched upon, but how is the power of giving related to the mathematical principle that we study in the Caballerian philosophy?
Well, the mathematical principle, I read it in the book, so I hope it's correct. The mathematical principle, in a universal way, is the expression of a greater principle of life. And we know that the principle itself is the greatest giver of all. It's an unselfish principle. And it's an ongoing principle through involution and evolution. So when we first study the mathematical principle and we start in life analysis training, we are given an understanding of the basic qualities of the numbers from 1 to 9. And we learn how to measure a birth path potential. And we learn the importance of creating a balanced mind through a balanced name. And as we learn the positive and the negative expression of the numbers from 1 to 9, we are taught the importance of living and expressing the positive side of the qualities, as every number on the quality side is a reflection of a conscious expression of life. And this gives us an awareness of this invisible power behind life, and we can truly understand Mr. Parker's statement. He would say, to live is to give. And we know that every number, every quality applies to us as we live this, we experience this in a cyclic sense. So if we never really understand this concept, we're not really living life as we should. If we just live in the finite world, and most people do, we don't experience the true joy of living, and it's really only an existence for us then.
Croft.
Yes, in the Cavalry of Philosophy, as you may be well aware of, everything is mathematical, all life is mathematical. To give is to grow, and to grow is to give. So growth of mind is cyclical. We accelerate the quality of growth, mental growth, through order and harmony in our thinking. So as we understand the qualities of the cycle growth, we want to follow that pattern because we know that it produces order, harmony, and accomplishment. If we did not know the mathematical pattern, we would have a higher percentage of error in our affairs. It is through mathematics that we see the intelligence of the pattern. So human nature expresses through mathematics, through knowing the mathematical formula of name, we are able to give or help knowing, understanding, and explaining the strengths and weaknesses of our children. Knowing these mathematical laws, we're able, as Cavalarians, to give more abundantly to the understanding of human nature. So through the law of cycles, we are able to enrich our life, to accelerate our growth, to add a quality to our mental understanding that is not so easily possible without that knowledge.
Clayton.
So the power of giving related to the mathematical principle. First of all, someone would ask, well, what would I have to give? How would I know what I have to give? So the mind then has to reach a point where it realizes that a person is born into time, and the time denotes its birth path, again, which is its potential, which is what it has to give back to life, is what its inner potential is. That potential expresses positive or negative relative to if the person has a balanced or unbalanced name. So first, before one can even start to give, they must realize that there is a bigger picture behind life, that they're born with this potential, and that potential wants to express to its highest side and give back to life and go back to its consciousness. So it's through understanding the mathematical principle, the positive and negative qualities of the numbers, that we are able then to live to that higher side and naturally just start giving back to the universe the positive qualities that exist within us. So to give, one has to first realize what there is to give and recognize the power behind the principle and learn to establish those ideals into their life.
This next question has been well covered, but in case you want to add any more points, what is the Cavalarian concept of giving? Chantel?
The concept of giving in the Cavalarian concept is a universal concept, one that everyone is heir to, one that everyone wants but doesn't know. those of us who are fortunate to have come across it because something in life made us seek it out and often go through great tribulation to find it, then those of us who have it reach out to those who want it and share it, and they come because they see an example in us. They see an example in our attitude, our happy attitude, our continuous consistency. That is very important, to set an example for others so that they can see that there's something there that they would like to emulate. And that's so important, because so often youngsters don't get that in their parents. There's not that love. There's not that oneness. There's not that wanting to understand anything. They've sort of given up. So when you meet people, when you have that love in you for life, you want to share it with others. And they see the example in your expression, in your approach, in your voice, in your whole demeanor. And they often come up to you and say, I would love to be like you. And then you can approach them and say, I know how you can. And you share. And then you start living, really living, the purpose of your being. And it's such a wonderful thing to see that spark of awareness light up in another person's face.
Bonnie?
The Kelvin concept of giving, of course, relates to being able to clarify and transmute this life force that's born within into a spiritual ideal, so the service then is where we can give selflessly to all people. And we see this demonstrated through our mental attitude, really, more than anything else. We cannot allow ourselves to be locked into self as it takes away, and it really takes effort to give. You've got to be in a certain plane of mind, you might say, or a certain attitude to want to give, sometimes when you don't feel like it, but it has to be done. And I just had a quote here from Mr. Shearing in a 1977 convention, to live is to give is to grow. Even the name of the article is pretty inspiring. He says, we grow only through greater giving, and when we stop giving, we stop growing, and when we stop growing, we start dying. It's such a little scary, but like it really says it how it is. So it's all about that, and if we don't give, we don't. Like if the vessel is full, nothing more can come in until it starts going out.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that powerful quotation.
So, to many people, the thought of giving is more connected with material objects. When we watch the Oprah Winfrey show and she gives the family a house, and we see how pleased that family is at receiving that material object, there's no doubt that that's a great act of kindness and so on. I don't know about the tax write-offs and so on, but nonetheless, the thought is wonderful that she's doing it and others are not. So it does help that family materially. But what the Cavalarian philosophy is teaching and giving is how to develop within ourselves the principle of mental growth. We're teaching people that they can learn for themselves and their family how to read life through mathematics. We can show them what is holding them back, holding back that spark of universal consciousness through the name. But teaching the knowledge of mind is the most greatest gift, the highest gift that we could give anyone.
Judy.
Well, just another point. The Cavalarian concept of giving is a quality of mind. And, of course, they use the expression to live is to give and to grow is to give is to grow, and it is as the growing concept and understanding that this expression becomes more and more important to us. We want to live our lives within principle, and the principle governs our life, and it's not something that we just put on for a special occasion like once or twice a year like you see in some religions. But to the best of our ability, we will apply this principle principle in our everyday life. And, of course, what we talked about, it's important, of course, to be happy and constructive in our thinking, how important it is to have a good attitude and to be able to give understanding to other people. It's important of thinking of others and try to put ourselves in other person's place. We don't judge. And we should, of course, always be very truthful and honest with ourselves, as we know that self-takes and really this the principle of life will give. So we want to give back to life.
You want more? I took it from maybe a little different slant. I thought of giving. There's many types of giving as there's many types of loving, you know. A small child, oh, I love chocolate chip cookies. It's a form of love. And then there's a love that parents have for their children, a child has for their parents. And then as life goes on, you meet someone and you fall in love. But often these can be on an emotional level. So there's steps of giving and steps of loving. What you love yesterday might not be what you love tomorrow. What you loved when you were 5 years old, you might hate today, right? But when you're giving, it can be on the same level of giving. Like Prof said, you know, Oprah gives a house. To her, then she's fulfilled a purpose probably inside her because she has so much so she can give in that way. She inspires people as well. But as one learns and goes through life, you realize that often some of those giving and loving things were on an emotional level. And then as you learn and sense more of the universal principles of life, you transmute that power into something still greater so that you can give on a spiritual level. So you transmute that power of love and giving to a higher level. So it creates another form of giving. So you're giving the principle, and the principle is working through you through the breath of life. That was a little part in the beginning of the article that the spark of consciousness comes to man with the first breath of life, and I don't think we realize sometimes the importance. I think we do, because if you stop breathing, you realize the importance of the breath. But it really, without that breath, you're not linked anymore. There's no, when you stop breathing, the link between life and you is cut off. But there again, by creating and giving in your mind, you've created a bigger power. And maybe on a higher level, you'll be giving more to consciousness. Just another.
Thanks, Clayton. Chantel.
Yes, I had just a memory of Mr. Parker. He said, when you see someone starving, you give them food, not philosophy. You make them healthy, you make them happy, and then they see, and then you can share the spiritual principle with them, which motivated you in the first place to give them food.
Thank you, Chantel. As the panel has mentioned, learning to give selflessly represents the power of giving. Each quality expresses that power in a unique way, and a lesson can be drawn from each quality so that we understand it better and can incorporate it into our lives. So we're now going to briefly go through each quality. So the one quality, Melanie.
First, I just wanted to say, just in case anyone's sensitive about their numbers, when we're new students, we're quite sensitive about being a certain birth path. Well, when we're talking about the numbers this morning, we're not talking about birth path. We're talking about your cycle, your minor lesson, your birth path, your name, even your family name. So we won't want to get lost in just any. And we're just talking about it from the positive and the negative side of how this number is either promoted to give or blocked. So the one quality, as we know, is very strong in the leadership of an individual positive expression. But it can be too blunt and self-centered, and They must learn to express the power of their word in such a way as to strive to merge and not remain so separate, like, I'll do it my way, because you can't really give when you're so separate from others. The one must learn to submerge self and yet retain that individual expression, which that's their purpose, by expressing the higher, more considerate side of their natures, and learn not to antagonize with their blunt expression, but to consider others not just look just like part of life, and build around that away from the self concept, so that all is included, and you just become merged with that, and then it's easier for any quality to give once you sort of lay away that the negative or weaker point. And just one more quote from that same 1977 convention. Mr. Shearing actually quoted it from the Reader's Digest, and I thought it explained the one quality, but any self-quality. And he said, "You can obtain more friends in 1 week by taking an interest in them rather than, and you can make in a whole year trying to make people interested in you." And we've all met those kind of people. They'll talk for 6 hours about what they did, and they don't even know who you are. And so you can't really get to know that type of person, and they certainly would never get to know. And, you know, when you listen to someone speak of self for so long, you almost run the next time you meet them. So they're not going to get many friends that way, are they? But I thought it was a good quote, and coming from Reader's Digest.
Excellent. Any other thoughts on the one quality?
Well, and one comes forward to share with the world that energy of positive leadership, and they exemplify that power of being able to put up with tremendous hardships. And once you make the friend of a one, you know, they're always that, they have that one loyal quality of, in that friendship. So that's a wonderful lesson that they pass on to humanity, that loyalty, that honesty. They don't talk behind your back. It's a beautiful expression of a principle.
How about the two quality, Clayton?
What I found the most interesting in this article on the numbers was that the strength of my interpretation, anyways, that the weakness of each number was really its strength, because it was in finding out the weakness of the number and flipping it around, it really gives you the strength and how to find and be able to give successfully with that quality of being your, like Melanie mentioned, in your birth path or in your name or what have you. So in the article I was mentioning about the two quality and its avoidance and not taking the stand, but in turn if it flips that around and uses that quality because it has that natural ability to sense, say what is to come or to what is to happen, they're able then to, you could say, manipulate the situation to bring it to a more positive, successful completion. So as that two quality learns not to use avoidance, but uses its sensitivity to rebalance the situation and to try to bring a higher side out of an event, will allow it greater expression of the power of giving.
Judy.
Well, the two quality, it's also, it represents the negative power in life, as the one quality represents the positive power. So we think of the two quality, we think of the diplomat, and the two quality, they really enjoy working with people. They find it easy to serve and to be obliging. And, of course, it's the peacemaker. They're very tactful. They're very sensitive to other people's needs. And they really enjoy people. And one thing about the two is they take the time to get to know other people. They're wonderful hosts and hostesses, and they have this natural ability to put other people at ease. And so they make friends easily. But it's very hard for the two to say no and to mean it. And they also have a very quick mind. They love music, art, and drama. but they don't like to rough it, so they seldom take part in very active sports. So we know the weakness of the two is procrastination, and also it's lacking in system and order. And the challenge comes through lack of individuality and the lack of ability to take a stand on principle. And the lesson for the two is to be more concerned about the truth of the principle than someone else's opinion. And they don't really like dealing with issues since they are really afraid of hurting someone else's feelings. So they avoid issues, but because of that, the spark within will suffer. So these two qualities, they have so much to give, but the lesson is to learn to be an individual. And learn to be quick and clever within principle and learn not to avoid issues.
Chantal, please.
There's one lesson I learned a long time ago from a two. It's passive resistance. One may say, oh, it's avoidance. No. If they see something that is not right, they will practice passive resistance, which is a great power. And it can be used in the face of great tribulation. And it creates peacefulness by just being passive resistance.
In the article, that's a good point, Chantel. In the article, this was covered, but also that sometimes because of that indecisiveness or that inability to want to take issue, the two can sometimes not face the truth of the principle. And that's where that is so important, to be able to give the truth of the principle. Any other thoughts?
So when they reach that higher level of consciousness, that greater understanding of life, there's no other number that can listen so politely, so attentively as the two. They have wonderful advice to give because it's the number of seeing comparisons, so seeing all points of view and bringing points together. That's why they make the great diplomats of the world, and wonderful role.
Thank you. Well, let's go on to the three quality. Any thoughts on the three quality? Well, we all have lots of three, and I make up, many of us as students have threes in our makeup, and it's a natural giving quality, the three quality. They love people and they love to express. But on the negative side, it can be slightly intolerant because we're so busy wanting to give our opinion that sometimes we think we forget that there's another opinion out there. And so that intolerance can come through. Any other thoughts? Judy?
Yes, when we think of the three quality, we think of the power of self-expression. And that the three itself is the power of giving. They love to give, and it's also a very inspirational quality, but it's really more more emotional rather than intellectual, at least before they learn the principle. The tree will give of itself. It will give the shirt off their back, and they can be very understanding. They can be very sympathetic. They can also be very helpful. So this self-expression is the keynote of this number, and they can excel in public speaking, in art, and drama, and as well as entertainers. And it's easy for them to be happy and cheerful. But the negative side, of course, of the three is intolerance, and to be intolerant of others. And we know that intolerance is really a selfish point of view. And they can actually be quite disrespectful of other people's ideas and opinions and actions. They can also make fun of other people if they have a physical impediment. But they can also laugh at themselves, so that's a good thing with a three. They're also very sensitive people, and they can be deeply hurt by unkind words and criticism. So the tree needs encouragement and appreciation from others, and they really thrive upon kindness. So the tree quality, they have so much to give, but the lesson is to learn to give understanding and tolerance to other people.
How about the four qualities? Corrupt?
I'm just going to make one more point about the three, if I could just take a moment here, and that is that the real power of the three was demonstrated through Alpha J. Parker being a three, and it's that power of expression, the power of the word, the inflection in the voice, the power to reach and lift and explain life to people. I don't know that there's a number that can reach people in that enthusiastic, in that warm and generous way. They just exude that power of giving through every pore in their body. There's such a wonderful power to listen to in that way. You asked about the four?
Sure.
Well, they give that technical and patient quality back to life. They have very good concentration. They're very neat and thorough. A lot of times I think while others are talking about things, the fours are doing things. They accomplish in life because they have that work ethic. And what a wonderful power in life just to move ahead on a systematic level, day by day, accomplishing. We have to employ that quality in everything that we do in our life. So they have that great strength of reliability to contribute back to humanity.
Anyone else? Chantel.
Well, I work with fours here and there, and I have found them to be very stable, and they have the ability to really stay with something and not quit. And they just carry it right through. Also, they brook no interference. They're very definite in what they like, and they have a hard time changing habits. And as a baby, you don't pick up a four up quickly and put them down fast. It really upsets them. And if you're going to surprise a four, tell them about it first.
They like to know, and then they can be surprised.
I have that from someone who is a four. They don't like surprises, as you and I might. Three might now. The three loves surprises. They just love it. But the four doesn't. It's hard on their system. And if you're going to do something, do prepare them. Do tell them. They're very loving, kind people, very stable, and if you don't push them a little bit, they can be monotonous.
That's right. The four can be in that rut, and so we have to break out of that rut sometimes, and you know that schedule that we might have, and in order to give to others and to be more flexible. How about the five quality, Melanie?
I think I know a little about that. Mr. Shering says the five can give it, but they can't take it. So we've got to learn to take it if we want to give it, or else tone down the giving of it. I think probably one of the biggest qualities on the negative of five is that they have so much analysis. Like everything you see, analyze it. And that sounds four-ish, but it's not, because the five does it really fast. And because of that, they become very impatient, like, hurry up, you know, it's taking too long. And you ask a question, you don't want a whole book. You just want three or four points that you can take in your mind and utilize it quickly. Everything's fast. And because of this impatience, they become very intolerant. And using the power of the word, they can be so sarcastic, just like, well, the three can be sarcastic, but the five can, like, cut you off at the knees with their sarcasm. And they don't even know until after when they feel bad, they have some nines in their makeup, they don't even know they're doing it because it's just, they're trying to get the point across in any way they can. So this cutting speech tears the other person down, tears them apart inside. So what's that doing for giving? You know, the person just slinks away and they don't even want to talk to them anymore. So this quality has to learn to be more tolerant and understanding and just tone down and hold back. Take a deep breath before you express so that you calm it down a little bit. Then they become a little bit more patient, giving a response. But also one thing Mr. Sherry mentioned in that, and I've heard it a lot, is that as a parent, sometimes the children don't even know they're loved, but the parent loves their child, but they do this, do that, and they're constantly keeping them busy. They're so busy, they haven't got time to be cuddled because they're so busy learning something. And And when the child does something, and then the father says, well, oh, yeah, that look, oh, but you missed that. You know, instead of saying, everything's perfect. That's really what they wanted here. But, yeah, I don't know, it's just a quality where they get picky. They get really picky. And this, you know, takes away from the giving aspect. And when you've got a lot of that quality, you've got to work on a lot of things. Words, nobody wants to be, you know, listening to you. It's just a difficult quality. But on the, you know, on the higher side, I mean, they would hate to say this, but they would kill for their child. You know, they might be terrified of something, but, you know, like a bear, for instance. But I bet if a bear was chasing my child, I'd probably chase the bear, even though I'm terrified of bears. But that's just, it's almost like the nine in a certain way. It's a very interesting quality when it comes to the giving aspect. Sorry to personalize it, but that's
Well, when we think of the five quality, we think of the seeker after new truth. We think of the traveler and action. And it symbolizes change and also turbulence. The five enjoy new experiences, and they're always searching for a reason for things. It's a very intense, it's a very dynamic number, and they need to find a constructive outlet through a creative expression. They can be hard to understand because of their changing moods, and they can also be somewhat critical and cynical. So the five quality must learn to give in a different way. The power of giving is really the weakness, and that is, of course, in a person that don't have the principle. They can dish it out, but they simply can't take it. So it's very difficult for them to give understanding, tolerance, and patience. The five can give on an emotional plane, but on a material plane, it gives quite often with an intent or a motive. The five has the power of expression, but it is a negative expression, often through sarcasm, belittling, and a cutting speech. And just as the three is impulsive, the five is impatient. They can also be very principled in many ways, particularly in regard to their word. They don't make idle promises, and they really have no use for those who break their word. And they resent repression in any form. And the five really needs wisdom and philosophy in life before they can become happy and stable. And, of course, when they do have that, they will be as giving as any other quality.
So the five, of course, on the constructive side are very quick thinkers, and they can concentrate intensely and get results very, very quickly. That's why they make good promoters, because they can transfer those ideas onto other people and stimulate others because of that freshness of thought, that creativity, that is a tremendous energy that flows through the five.
What about the sixth quality?
What about it, huh? Well, according to the article, one of the biggest problems of the six is must learn to rise above ego. And also in the article, it states that ego is the biggest obstacle for all the qualities to overcome, and that all have the problem of ego. But by loving and giving, I think that allows us to break down all the egos of all the numbers. And the more that we can give and love, then we break down the negative side of the qualities and are able then to express either your birth path, your inner potential, and let the principle express through you.
So going on to the six again, they're so versatile. You can find them in the arts. You can find them in business. You can find them in good leaders in school systems and so on. And it's the uncanny ability for the six to see that balance, that overall balance in anything that they approach, that they give back to the world, that power of balance, and that's why we all have six senses in our names.
Chantal, would you please cover the seventh quality?
Oh, dear. Here we go. I am a seven. Well, no one would ever know it. A seven, I have a lot of nines in me. a seven as a child learns, has to learn to be alone because they are misunderstood by their parents and by other children. They make few friends, so they are forced to more or less turn within. A seven goes to nature, books, great thoughts, to find some direction in life, because the seven wants to find God, and nothing less will do. And you know, you find, and you bawl God out. Why am I stuck here, not knowing anything? And you should give me some way to find you. And then the answer comes back, well, you didn't leave. I didn't leave you, you left me. That's what God says. God didn't leave mankind, mankind left God. Well, that makes sense. Because aren't we all living in ignorance? So how are we going to get back to God? So you yell at him some more. And he's got to find out. And then the next answer comes, you've got to go to Vancouver and see somebody. And you know, not long after that, I met someone, got married, and 3 days in Vancouver, I met Mr. Parker's organization. And because I was told by somebody to look for a circle with a K in the middle of it. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked. I worked, I went by that Peter Pan ballroom for a whole year, and I never saw it. Until I met some friends, and there it was. Guess where I was that night? And the moment I heard that great man speak, that was it. I knew that's what I was looking for. That was the principle. That was the truth. God is a principle, not a person. And that's what the seven in all of us is looking for. Not just one person. All of us. Everybody's looking for that. And when we can reach out with the principle and touch that part of others, oh boy, it's great.
And we bring out the depth of the principle.
Yes.
Yeah. Judy.
Well, when we think of the seven quality, we think of the Stoic, the writer and philosopher. And the seven really, they really have much to give since they are very deep thinkers. They're very logical, can be very logical, and also philosophical. And they love poetry and good literature. So the duty of the seven is to seek within. They're very finely tuned to nature, and they sense and feel so much more than they can express. But the seven, they lack verbal expression, so they're often accused of being aloof and of thinking too much of themselves. And since they are very sensitive, they seldom say what they think out of fear of being ridiculed. And they can be very difficult partners to understand. At times, they can be very stubborn, with no expression and no giving. The seven quality has a tendency to hide itself and its inner quality. By themselves, they will suffer stage fright, but they can put on a costume and they can live the part. They find it really hard to be natural, but when it does, it can be actually quite giving be quite wonderful in its giving qualities. And that is the lesson for the seven to learn, to be able to give naturally and to learn to give its true expression, and that's really the depth of the principle. Thank you.
Thank you. Clayton, would you please discuss the eight qualities?
Well, I think we sometimes forget that the eight is in the spiritual trinity. So it is not just a materialistic number, it is a spiritual quality as well. And it must really learn to give justly to all. It does have the ability to create and reap the benefits from its efforts, but when it learns that it has to then take those benefits and give to all, then it will truly feel the satisfaction of what it has been able to achieve. Because it has the ability to reap, it should also then have the ability to give, because it has the most to give.
Thank you, Clayton. And Croft, would you please finish up with a nine?
Oh, and actually they can inspire others through the arts, through philosophy, through lecturing, teaching. They have the one of the finer qualities of the nine is related to the three in that way, and that's wonderful, generous, giving quality. They're very good at public speaking or dramatics, anything where they use the power of the word and a higher concept to inspire and lift other people.
Last night, Mr. Shearing talked about the power of giving of the nine, and he said that the nine has to let go of the finite plane and merge with the universal plane to leaven the whole. And that is what we as Kabbalarian students are striving to do. So just to sum up, I'd like to read a quote from the end of the article. Let us strive to give of ourselves in a unique way, in a way that we perhaps have never learned before, and to a degree that we have never accomplished before. So please join me in thanking our panel members for a stimulating discussion.